Are you carrying some heavy burdens in your life right now? If you are, then you know that that can just suck all the life right out of you. It can consume every ounce of who you are. It can take up all of your time. Well, folks, here, I want you to know something today. I want you to know that there's good news for burdened people, maybe just like you today. Listen, grab your Bible in just a minute. We're going to continue a look at the Exodus concerning burdened people out of Exodus chapter 6. So grab that Bible. Come on back. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us for this evening's Bible study. A moment ago I mentioned we're going to be looking at the book of Exodus chapter 6. That's the second book of the Bible. You've got Genesis, then Exodus. So it's going to be over there close to the front. So go ahead and turn over there, if you would, to Exodus chapter 6. Now, to kind of catch you up in our series as we've been going along, God has called Moses to be the one to go and deliver the message to Pharaoh to let the people go. We see his hesitancy along the way, and yet he still, he was obedient. He went, had Aaron with him. He approaches Pharaoh. Last week we talked about this. He approached Pharaoh with the message from God to let the people go, and essentially Pharaoh just kind of laughed at him. He's like, "Who's God? Why should I listen to him? Who is he? I mean, I'm the Pharaoh. I'm the one that's large and in charge. I don't take orders from anybody, not you or God." So, matter of fact, at that particular point, he decided that he was even going to make it harder on the children of Israel, on the Hebrew people. He actually told them, he said, "You're going to continue to be slaves. You're going to continue to make brick, except we're not going to provide you the straw this time. You're going to have to go get that yourself. But yet your quota is going to remain the same." And then because they were having trouble doing that, those who were the leaders of the children of Israel that were looked at upon the leaders were actually being beaten because of the fact that they weren't making these quotas. So, if you're one of the people of Israel at that particular point, you're sitting there thinking, man, it seems like things have just gotten worse. It's not like they're better. I thought that God was going to deliver us. We've cried out to him, and yet in the midst of it, things seem to have even gotten worse. And in our scripture text, we get to the point where when Pharaoh says no, Moses goes back to him and he says, "Man, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's kind of like, I don't know what you've got going on. I don't know what's happening, but this is not what it appears that it should be." So let's look at our text today as we consider the burdened people of Israel, but also the burdened people of today. Maybe you're one of those. Exodus chapter 6, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Exodus chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land.' And God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord.'" Verse 3, "I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Cana, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." Verse 6, "Therefore say to the children of Israel, 'I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity once again to gather under your word and under your name. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. May we truly give ears to hear what the Spirit would say to each one of us at this very moment. Lord, help draw us closer to you. And as always, we pray that there could be the conviction of any lost soul that may be within the sound of my voice right now. So Lord, bless me as your messenger for these moments. May you truly be high and lifted up. As Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at this scripture text today, we remember that Moses has gone to Pharaoh. Pharaoh has refused to let the people go. In fact, he's actually made things even tougher on them simply because of that. I kind of look at that situation as Pharaoh saying, how dare Moses come to me and tell me to let the people go based on who God is. Remember what he said. He said, I don't know God. I'm not worried about him. You know, why should I worry about that? And then he kind of ratcheted up the trouble for the children of Israel along the way by making things tougher for them. Now, at this particular point, God is renewing his pledge of deliverance for the people of Israel. Now remember, he is speaking in this regard to Moses. But here's what we need to know and understand. The same way that God shared and delivered the children of Israel back then, he is still the same God that we serve today. He is still the same God that cares about burdened people in this day and age. So basically, God cares when you and I are troubled, in the same way that he cared that Israel was troubled back in this Old Testament passage. Now, let's think about what he cares for. There's so much that we can learn out of verse 6 of our text. And one of those things is this, is that God cares about our burdens. Go back with me once again to verse 6. Verse 6 says this, therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. Yeah, I love how he said that. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Well, you know, if you're one of the Israelites at that point, you're sitting there saying, it doesn't look like you're doing a really good job. It looks like things are actually harder on us now than before. And you know what happens when something like that happens, when things seem to get worse, our natural tendency is to want to go back to the way things were before. You know, I've used this term many times in our church. We got to be careful that we don't want to run back to Egypt. I've said that before. How many times, and if you're familiar with the biblical history or you're familiar with this story, there are so many times that they got miffed because of what God was doing, and then they actually would say to Moses, wouldn't it have been better had we stayed back in Egypt? At least there were graves for us. At least we were better off than what we are now. Now, again, that's talking about after they had been released and after they, you know, had gotten out. But how many times do you and I, you know, when God is trying to move us to a new place, when God is trying to do some incredible things for us, Satan's going to try to stop it. And what happens is it seems like things get worse. I kind of take heart to that statement that says this, things are going to get worse before they get better. And it seems like so many times throughout God's word, that's what we find. That when God is wanting to do something incredible in the lives of his children, his people, or you as an individual, it seems like things get worse before they get better. Why? Because Satan knows if he can make it tough on us like that, then it's going to be easy for us to run back to where it's comfortable, to run back to something that we know. Even if we didn't like it, we still have that familiarity with it, and it's still comfortable to us. And it's not about being comfortable, it's about being obedient. So God cares about our burdens. This is a promise for hurting times, not only for those that were in Egypt at that time, but it's also a promise for you and I. God knows about our pain. He knows about your pain. He knows about the burdens that you're going through right now. He cares about them. He wants to do something about them. How many times have I talked to people before when they've said, well, you know what? I've been praying about this situation, and it just seems like God's not there. It seems like God doesn't care. I can tell you right now, God knows exactly what's going on, and He does care. Yet He may have you waiting. Remember we talked about that, you know, last week. What is it like to have to wait on God? You know, what is it when we have to stand by and wait on Him to do some incredible things, when it seems like He's silent, when He seems like He's quiet? Those are some tough times for you and I. Those are when those are times when our faith gets stretched, and we really have to put our faith and our trust in who God is and what He says that He's going to do. Now, remember, in the midst of that time, extra labor, you know, was caused by this call of freedom. You know, Moses went, did exactly what God told him to do. Pharaoh, being stubborn as he was and turning his back not only on God, begins to make it harder for the people. They have to make bricks without the provision of straw. Instead, they've got to go out and gather stubble. And yet at the same time, they had to keep up with the production levels of what they had before. A lot of us would sit back and say, man, that's almost impossible to do. Some of you have experienced that. You've had that happen at work where you have to keep up the pace of what you had before, but you're given less material, as it were, or you're given less to operate with, but yet you're expected to keep up with the same production, if not better, than what you had before. So it's frustrating. I mean, it's really frustrating on you. It was frustrating on the children of Israel during that time. And then there was punishment for it. If they weren't able to keep up with the quotas that they had, then their leaders, Israelite leaders, were beaten by the taskmasters. In other words, they would call the bosses in and say, how come your people aren't producing the number of brick that they're supposed to produce? Well, somebody's got to pay, so they would be beaten for this. So we're not just talking about, you know, something, a little bit of verbal banter back and forth. It's not, hey, if you don't get your act together, this is going to happen. No, there were some serious consequences to this situation. Now, you could see why the children of Israel may be sitting back saying, look, man, I kind of wish Moses would have kept his mouth shut. I kind of wish he would have been quiet about this situation, because at least we had straw by which to make the brick. We're not in the circumstance and situation. We wouldn't be where we are right now. You know, our bosses wouldn't be getting beaten. We wouldn't be having to try to scrounge up straw and yet keep those same quotas up. How easy is it for us to want to run back to what is comfortable? Folks, let me tell you something. Your burdens are important to God. He understands that. You need to name those burdens before the throne. You need to carry them to Him in prayer. You need to say, Lord, here's what's going on in my heart and in my life. This is why right now, you know, I'm having so much trouble. My attention is divided. All my attention is going toward this issue that I'm struggling with. And Lord, I need your help. But then you also have to have the faith to trust that He's going to handle your circumstance and your situation. So the bottom line is, you know, one of the first things we learn out of our verse 6 today is that God does care for our burdens, you know, and we can name them before Him and ask Him to give us the grace to help us in the time of need. The second thing that we learn out of that verse 6 is that God cares about our bondage. Let me carry you back to verse 6 once again, where he says, therefore, I say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. Did you get that part? I will rescue you from their bondage. Now, I want to point something out here. There are differences between burdens and bondage. Burdens are concerns, their cares, their problems. Those are the things that we think about. Those are burdens. You've probably used that before or heard it used before, and somebody says, well, that person's carrying an awful heavy burden. What are those? Concerns, cares, and problems. All right. So then what is bondage? Bondage is different than burdens. Bondage is actually control by a person or a substance. Anything that takes control of you. So you see the difference where burdens are concerns, cares, and problems, whereas bondage is control by a person or a substance or a thing. Let me ask you a question today. What controls you? What are the things that are controlling you in your life? Now, some people would sit back and say there are a couple of easy answers to that. Of course, obviously there is. There are some people that are in bondage or under the control of alcohol or drugs. There are some people that are in bondage because the temper that they have or something that brings them grief along the way. Some people are in bondage in relationships and bondage to other people. You know, some people are in bondage to fear that limits your usefulness for God himself and that limits your usefulness for the kingdom. There are many, many things that can put us under bondage. So I wanted to point out in verse 6 that the Lord says, I am going to rescue you from your bondage. Okay? Now, bondage, not just being the simple concerns of the fact that, well, we don't have enough straw, we don't have this, those would be burdens. But the bondage was the fact that they were under the control of the Egyptians. They were under control of the ungodly Pharaoh. And the Lord said, I am going to deliver you, I'm going to rescue you from your bondage, not just your concerns, but the thing that has control of you. Again, I pose that question to you today. What is it that has control of your life? What is controlling you? What is your bondage today? You know, is it a substance? Is it a person? Are there things like fears that are keeping you from being all that God wants you to be? Okay, so God cares about the fact that we're in bondage in some way. Now, not all of us. I'm not trying to be judgmental enough to say that everybody is in bondage, but you know, some of us are. Some of us hadn't realized the difference between a burden and a bondage. We look at it as a burden, but rather it's bondage that we need to be delivered from. God cares about that, and he wants to deliver you from it. Now, also in verse 6, we see that God cares about our freedom. Let's go back once again to chapter 6, verse 6. It says, therefore, I say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. He says, I will redeem you. Now, if you will remember, yeah, the Passover feast, you know, or the Passover comes along a little bit later on here, where you know the Lord makes his way through, and you know you have to have the blood over the doorpost, and if he sees that, he'll pass by. The Passover lamb is what would set them free. Yeah, it's what Jesus Christ is, our Passover lamb. He is what sets us free. You and I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, so he cares about our freedom, and he offers us that opportunity. Now, I've said before, just because God offers us an opportunity, that doesn't mean that everybody always accepts that the Lord is providing for us a way of escape from the death and bondage here on earth, and the same thing as far as all of eternity. He offers a solution to hell, but you and I have to choose him. We have to choose him freely. See, our Lord has come to set us free. He set us free by the scriptures that we read. That's why studying your Bible is so important. Those scriptures are what will set us free. He sets us free by the Savior, our one and only Savior, the once for one and all perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross. That death, that burial, and that resurrection. Got to remember, if Jesus would have stayed in the grave, he wouldn't have been different than any other great teacher or great reformer. But he didn't. He rose again, and he conquered death and he conquered hell. And we are set free by the Savior. We are set free by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and moves us as we try and decide and determine to study and to follow him along the way. God cares. That's the greatest message that you and I can understand today, is that God cares for us in the same manner that he cared for the children of Israel back in their days of bondage back in Egypt. But there's something else that God cares about as well, and that is the fact that God cares about our fellowship. Now, that's a big word. Most of us know what that means. We use that term oftentimes when we get together and we say, well, we're getting together to fellowship. We're going to fellowship over a meal. You know, we're going to have those times and those opportunities to be able to be together. And I think that's critical. I think the Bible calls for that, and it gives us an opportunity to come together as like-minded believers to bear one another's burdens, to pray for one another, to learn together, to be discipled. So God cares about our fellowship. Look with me, if you would, at our text in verse 7. Verse 7 says this. He says, "I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." He says, "I will take you, you know, to me for a people, my people." You know, God, it says, "I'm going to have fellowship with you." He would be their God. Now, folks, you know, so many times people, you know, particularly since the pandemic, have often said, "Well, I don't see what's so important about being able to come, you know, to church or to gather in the house of the Lord." Folks, it's critical that we do that. That's our fellowship as believers. When we go out in this lost and dying world, you know, we're outnumbered. You know, in your jobs, in your neighborhoods, and places that you go, you're pretty much outnumbered as a believer. We need to come together not only to be able to have that support and to be able to fellowship and to be able to bear one another's burdens, but that we might learn together. You know, God said, "I will take you as my people, and I will have fellowship with them." God says the same thing to you, and I will have fellowship with you. Now, that's not to say that church is the only place that you can have fellowship with God, because it's not. But man, what a great way to be able to come together and have fellowship not only with God, but fellowship together, you know, with God in the midst, in the presence. He says, "I will be your God." And that's what he says to you and I. "I will be your God." He would give them the assurance of his presence. And you and I have the assurance of his presence. We, in this age of grace and in this time in which we live, the Lord promised us he wouldn't leave us comfortless. He said, "I'll give you the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is our teacher, our guide, our strength, our refuge. Man, we need to rely upon, you know, the Holy Spirit. He said he would give them the assurance of that, and he's given us that through the Holy Spirit as well. He said that he would guide them night and day. If you remember, as he led them, you know, maybe you've read ahead, hopefully you have, he said that he would guide them. And how did he do that back then? He guided them by the cloud during the day and the pillar of fire by night. He says, "I'm going to lead you every step of the way." The same holds true for you and I in this day and age. God is going to lead us and he is going to guide us. But we're going to have to be in touch with him. We're going to have to be in his word. We're not just going to have, we can't just read it superficially. We need to ask God to speak to us through his word. I love what the Bible itself tells us. It says that the word is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, in other words, it is a living word. What does it mean for God's word to be a living word? It means that when you pick it up as a believer and when you read it, that God has a message. He has something he wants to say to you in that moment where you are reading in that scripture, and the Holy Spirit will reveal that to us. So the question is, are you just picking it up and reading it to be able to check that box off and say, "Well, I did my Bible reading for today"? Or are you saying, "Lord, I want you to speak to me. As I read your word, I want to hear what you have to say to me. I want you to show me. I want you to draw me close to you. I want you to correct me where I'm wrong. I want you to convict my heart in those areas that need to be straightened up. And Lord, I want to walk with you." If you do that, I can make you the promise that God in his word has said, "I will show up. I will speak to you. I will lead you. I will guide you." Are you doing that today? You know, he gave them assurance of his presence. He gives you and I that same assurance today. He gave them assurance he was going to guide them day and night. He gives us that same assurance that he's going to guide us day and night. But listen, folks, if he's going to guide us, you got to listen to him. And how do you listen to him in this day and age? You listen to him through his word. You listen to him through sermons. You listen to him through godly counsel. You know, you listen to him through your prayer life as you take the time not only to talk, but to listen to what the Spirit is having to say to you. You know, a lot of us are sitting back saying, "Lord, I want you to guide us," but we're too busy talking to listen to what he has to say. He's going to point us in the right direction if we will only listen and heed. And a lot of his direction, folks, let me tell you, comes from right here. It comes right from his word. You know, he's going to tell us right there. It's like saying, "Lord, I want you to lead me, but I don't want to look at the instruction book. You know, Lord, I want you to show me, but I'm not interested in spending time with you in prayer." Yeah, it just doesn't work that way. You either want it or you don't. You either go for it or you don't. That's plain and simple. You're either walking a superficial spiritual life, or you're trying to get in as much depth as you can and draw yourself close to the Lord. See, He cares about our fellowship. You know, and He said He was going to provide for all their needs. And He says the same for you and I today. Maybe today there's somebody that's listening and you've got some needs, and they're big needs. You're carrying some heavy burdens. You know, you got a lot of things that are on your mind, and a lot of things that are on your heart, and you don't know what's going to happen. Let me tell you this, that as a believer, as a child of the King, God has promised that He would provide all of our needs. He shows us this through the Exodus, how he said He would provide for them. And He's given this as an example to you and I today, that He too will provide for our needs as His children. So God cares about our fellowship. And not only does God care about our fellowship, God cares about our future. Let me carry you down to verse 8. Down to verse 8 says this. It says, "And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." He cares about your future. "I will bring you into the land." In other words, God says, "I will bring you to where I want you to be." Not only will I bring you to where I want you to be, it's going to be a place that you're going to want to be. How did He describe the promised land in His word? The land that flows with milk and honey. This great place that God had prepared for them. The same holds true for you and I today. He wants to bring us into the land that He has promised us, the land that He wants to give us. Now, on the spiritual side, we know that's heaven. Now, of course that is. But He's also got a promised land for us here on earth, a place where we can function in His love and His mercy and His grace. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. I want to carry you back once again to what took place here in this passage that we're looking at today. You got to remember that when they began to get on track with God, things actually got tougher on them. Remember, no straw, taskmasters being beaten. Things will probably get worse for you before they get better, in the same manner that they did with Israel. They got worse before they got better. Why? Because Satan doesn't want you to get to the place that God wants you to be. But God would keep His promises. He kept His promise. Remember when He said in verse 8, he made some promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and He was going to keep those promises. He's made you and I some promises today as well. See, their heritage was guaranteed just like ours is. And the question is, are we claiming that today? Or are we allowing the circumstances of life to dictate, you know, and make us ebb and flow in our spiritual lives? You know, the good days, the bad days. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to have some bad days along that journey, but listen, I've said it so many times, how we feel about God and our trust in Him cannot be determined by our ever-changing circumstances. I call that circumstantial faith. When we do that, man, if Satan knows all he's got to do is throw situations and circumstances at you to bind you up, to burden you, to take you captive, then he'll just keep on doing that. Folks, you and I have to trust the fact that even in the midst of the most terrible, darkest days, God's got a plan, and His plan is to prosper us. His plan is good for us, and that we need to trust Him to get us there. Like their heritage, our heritage is also guaranteed. Yeah, what do? Man, we need to let God lift our burdens today, the things that have us bound up, the things that are bringing us down. We need to come to Christ in faith and be set free of those things that are so easily besetting us. You know, are you living a joyous life? Remember what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Are you exhibiting the joy of the Lord in your life? Or are you just plowing through it one day at a time, one step at a time, hoping for better days? Listen, folks, you don't have to hope as if, you know, I think or maybe there'll be some better days. The Word tells us there will be some better days, but we have to trust Him. Listen, don't run back to Egypt. When God starts to send you to the land that He has promised you, things are going to get tougher. It's going to be harder. Some of you know that. Some of you have sat back and you have made a vow in your life that I'm going to do better in my Bible study. And then a couple of weeks later, not only did you find that you weren't doing better in your Bible study, you were actually doing worse. I've talked to people over 30 years that have said that. They're like, why did it get harder? Well, because Satan wants to hold you back. That's why it got harder. Do not allow the circumstances to dictate who you are when it comes down to our Lord and Savior. Don't let circumstantial faith hold you back. Know that God cares. This whole chapter or these verses, these eight verses that we talked about today are simply about the fact that God cares for our future. God cares for our fellowship, okay? Not only does he care about those things, he also cares about whether or not we're free. He cares about our freedom. He cares about whether or not we're in bondage. He cares about whether we have burdens in our heart and in our lives. The question is, are we going to turn them over to him, and are we going to let him free us? Are we going to trust him? That's really where the key comes down. Are we going to have the faith and the trust in the master enough to say, Lord, I know you've got this. I'm going to put a song in my heart. I'm going to put joy in my heart. I'm going to put a song on my lips, and I'm just going to trust you no matter what. So you know what? Today, if you're one of those burdened people, just like we see back here in Egypt with the Israelites, there's good news for you. There's good news for burdened people, and that is that God cares and that God is going to deliver. You know what? Maybe we just need to pray that God would help us to focus more upon him, and that he would help us, and that he would give us the grace to get through those tough times that we're either, maybe we're going through them right now, or times that you may be facing, that we might be able to truly say as a benchmark, today is the day that I'm going to just trust God. I'm going to have faith in him. Allow him to deliver me because I can't deliver myself, and I know God wants to, but I'm going to trust him to do that, and I'm going to trust him on the journey to get me where he wants me to be. Would you do that? In just a moment, we're going to pray and ask God to do just that, but let me tell you about what we're going to be doing next week. Next week, I want you to be familiar with or read the book of Exodus chapter 7. We're continuing our study on the Exodus of God's people. And next week, we're going to look at the plagues beginning. Remember, it's one of those situations where Moses went to Pharaoh, said, God says, let my people go. He's not going to do it. So now he's going to be a little bit on the ornery side, and he's going to just sit back and dig his heels in, and God's going to begin to start to create some things that are going to be the attention getters in the life of Pharaoh. So Exodus chapter 7, next week we're going to discuss the plagues as they begin from Exodus chapter 7. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, I'm grateful and thankful for the fact that you do truly care for us. You care if we're in bondage. You care about our fellowship and our freedom and our salvation. Lord, I pray that we would truly give ear to what the Spirit has to say to us today. Lord, I pray that you will draw us close. For those, Lord, out there that are suffering, maybe silently within themselves, maybe they're carrying a very heavy load, I pray that today they would give you that load, that you would relieve them of it, that today truly becomes burden lifting day for your children. Lord, give them the peace that only you can give, and then Lord, help them to run that spiritual marker where you showed up so greatly in their life and brought relief, that Lord, when they're there again, they can look back and see where you've been faithful in the past and how you will be faithful in the present as we go forward. Lord, lift burdens today. Draw all your children unto you. As Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you do happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, and you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come by and worship with us. You can get more information about us from the website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. You can get directions to our place. Our services are at 10:45 on Sunday mornings, and we would love to have you come by and worship with us in spirit and in truth. And as always, if there's any questions that we can answer for you, we would love to be able to sit down and discuss those with you. So I hope to see you on Sunday. And if you have a church home, go there. Be supportive. Support it in every way. Support it with your presence. Support it with your tithes and offerings. Be very supportive and pray for your pastor. That's something that each and every one of us can do that cost us absolutely nothing. So I hope to see you on Sunday. God bless and have a great week.